Welcome today to our interview series with Outstanding Professionals. I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and I'm conducting an exclusive interview with Dr. Chasab Lee, Director of ITU's Telecommunications Standardization Bureau. Chasab, thank you for sharing your deep experiences with our audience.
Thank you very much. It's a great pleasure to talk to you today.
Now, Dr. Lee, you've got an amazing history. You've done so much. So can you describe your journey from a very early age to your current role, and then some of the milestones and valuable lessons that continue to shape your vision, goals, and execution style?
This should be very long, but let me try to shoot as much as possible. I'm a South Korean, born after the Korean War. It was a very difficult time for Korea, but also very challenging time for our national developments. I started my professional life in 1986. As a research engineer in Korea Telecom. It was the initial phase of Korean ICT developments. Actually, I want to say modernize of our Korea telecom networks. It was a good opportunity. I had a good opportunity to attend international meeting called CCITT, as currently ITUT. It gives me a great experience to look at the global world, and I believe that experience return to our country is a great contributions to develop of Korea ICT. After 17 years of there, I took up some of roles at Korea's National Research Institute called ETRI, Electronic and Telecommunication Research Institute. I worked over there at around 8 years. And just prior to my election as a director of ITU's Standardization Bureau, in 2014, I worked at the Korea Advanced Institute of Science and Technology called KAIST as an academia. So I worked over there as a senior advisor and also worked at finally in Korea's Ministry of ICT and the Future Planning. I want to say of this is a good opportunity for me working in the various areas like operators, R&D institute, academia, and administration. So such kind of my experience, let me say, beginning from the least, one of the least developing country to move of this country as ICT advanced country, so help to shape our vision, my vision and the goals in terms of UN systems where ITU belong, and also a good way to find out how we can collaboratively work to execute all these UN systems based on my experiences, such as so many different domains.
You know, Chasab, it's a remarkable career. You've contributed so much to the history of telecommunications on this world, which will reverberate decades to come. You know, after you finish your role with ITU, do you have any other plans?
It's a little bit early because I just elected at the end of the year 2014, but I hope my experience be sharing with some of the developing regions and also continuously looking for the emerging technologies, how we can build up this information society, the better and the safe and the more trustful way. So I want to continue with my professional life based on the international platform.
Oh, that's just a remarkable contribution, and we thank you for doing that. Now, I'm going to talk about the ITU itself. In my audience, a lot of them come from industry, also academia, especially computing science, but sometimes they don't know a lot about the ITU, its history, and its value. So can you spend a bit of time overviewing the ITU?
Let me start with the ITU. It's a United Nations specialized agency for dealing with information and communication technologies. We given our life by a membership of 193 member states. It's exactly the same way the UN system. And over 800 private sectors, including operator, industry, academia, even research institutes. ITU was established in 1865 to meet the need of international standards for telegraph systems. at that time is we didn't have any international code for SOS. So since our first standard is to develop this SOS international standard. So from the day of this telegraph, through our formative role in telecommunications, now today is converged with the ICT ecosystem. So ITU offered neutral platforms to broker consensus on policy and technical questions of a common global concerns. I want to say that ITU is a real multi-stakeholder models with clear geographical representations. We are membership-driven work of ITU, so we have three different sectors called the Bureau, according to our mandate. The first one should be ITOR, is a radio communication sector, is responsible for the global coordination of satellite orbits and the radio frequency allocations. All mobile phones used today is arranged based on the arrangement of this ITOR radio spectrum. And second should be my bureau, is a ITU standardization sector, responsible for the developing international standards. Our last bureau we called ITUD, development sector, the complements of this technical works with the capacity building in the application of advanced ICTs into developing countries.
You know, it's interesting, just a fascinating history, I guess 151 years this year, and having so much significant impact on the world today and into the future. I know that when I mention the ITU to some people, they sometimes they just think it's really focused only on telecommunications, but really it's so broad. Before we go into more of this, your standardization bureau, your particular bureau, can you talk about maybe just some of the areas that the ITU in general sort of is concerned about?
As you are right, it's many of people is very familiar with the ITU, by the name of ITU, International Telecommunication Union, so easily the limit of this understanding of telecommunication based. But practically, this telecommunication, the boundaries between telecommunication and ICT, the information communication technology, is very difficult to clearly differentiate. It's, I want to say it's already converged together. So in my bureau is working very hard to extend how we can harmonize between telecom infrastructure to support of these information societies, use of this IT and the CT technologies, like information technology or communication technologies. So this is our effort now. So one of the examples is now we are developing this IoT, cloud computing, even 5G, so-called IMT 2020, and also building of the smart cities. So those kind of activities is a newly added of our activities. So this is one of key areas what ITUT engage of these ICT domains.
So I can really see the value of the work that's being done by the Telecommunication Standardization Bureau. If I'm an executive, let's say in a business, and some of my audience are CEOs and CIOs and CTOs, what would be the value proposition to them of the work of the Telecommunication Standardization Bureau?
Mm-hmm. Let me start with imagine today we estimate around 95% of international traffic has runs over the fiber optic infrastructure. So this is one of the key area what ITUT standard engaged. One of our expert group, study group 15, as a global platform, unique global platform to develop all the transport technologies like fiber optics and also DSL technologies. Very recently, as you heard that GigaFest is the use of this copper cable, twisted cables to support maximum 1 gigabit per second broadband speed. So this is one of the example. If join of this ITU has a good opportunity to use this telecom infrastructure for facilitate this ICT developments. And not only this infrastructure aspect, as one of our critical product is so-called H.264 as a multimedia codecs, which is now very commonly used in the HDTV. And also we recently announced the H.265 with a double of this compression power. Those kind of things is another examples how international standard from ITU is to utilize for the facilitate of applications. And also, as I said before, the smart city or some other operational aspect like quality of service defining and the security matters, all this is subject is giving all our stakeholders or specifically industry leaderships to find out one integrated platforms to disseminate of their business, finding out their partners, and also find out any customers who need of this technical support. So that's the reason why I said this ITU is real multi-stakeholder models.
You know, as I've become more and more familiar with the fine work of the Telecommunication Standardization Bureau, it seems to me that you're also interested in things like the future of the workforce or accessibility or even things like new technologies around public ledger and blockchain and how that impacts telecommunications and financial services. Am I right that it's just so far-reaching even in those areas?
Yes, you know, this, as I said, as the ITU, as a UN agency, one of our fundamental role is how to ensure those everybody have equal benefit of this ICT developments. So in this regard, accessibility challenge is really one of hot topics for us. I'm very pleased to say ITU is a unique platform to address all standard development, taking into account accessibility requirements. We have expert groups to a range of these technical requirements, and also we have several recommendations. The recommendation is our standard to show of this accessibility. And also as a UN system, we believe this to find out any emerging topics but have enough potentials to impact of the future, whatever this is, near future or long-term future, continuously look at and study carefully and collaborate with our membership to bring over the make of this subject as a global subject. So we our spectrum to study in this the global or some humanity aspect also of this emergency, emerging technical areas. So we have a quite wide spectrum of coverage.
And I guess this kind of reminds me of, you know, the UN, that is the United Nations last year, I guess fully ratified the Sustainable Development Goals, these overarching goals for the countries of the world to achieve or to aspire to. And how does the ITU and your work sort of tie in to supporting the SDGs, the Sustainable Development Goals?
Yeah. SDG is now, since we UN system has quite a well success of Millennium Development Goals, whole of UN system has agreed to launch of this Sustainable Development Goals. As you recognize, SDGs have a very detailed plans with 17 different goals. So we, ITU, we are carefully study of this SDG, how we can contribute of this SDG to meet of this SDG goals. Our study result is from all 17 goals, so request something engagement from the ICT. We believe to facilitate of this 17 goals, many of the goals is need the ICT engagement, but also good objectives, give some good objectives, how ICT developments. So that is our study result. So whole of ITU, not only for ITUT, but whole ITU, including our Secretary General. So everybody is now so study how to support of these SDGs and also how to get some requirements from those 17 goals to direct our activities, our project. So this is now our status. I believe this SDG 17 goals is an essential part for our future directions.
Again, you know, my audience comes from computing science, but also in business. And some of them may not be familiar with the Sustainable Development Goals. Can you maybe just quickly maybe provide the titles of some of these goals? I know one of them is, so for example, to eliminate poverty, and the other one to eliminate hunger. Can you name some of the others that are out there?
Yes, this 17 goal is, yeah, sometimes it's very difficult to memorize all this, but as you said, it's poverty is another one. And also, we have the smartest sustainable community or sustainable cities, and the climate change, the waste aspect. Let me look at all these 17 goals at this moment. Yeah, I can't remember this all the 17 goals, but as a most of this subject is linked with ICT development. It would be good to, you can give me 1 minute, then I will take off these 17 goals, each of them. It would be okay.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, Dr. Chesab Leah, my apologies. They are difficult to know because there's so many of them, and usually they're very detailed when you read them all. So I was just mentioning, you know, from an overview, I know there's like gender equality is there, education, you know, empowering the youth, cultural diversity, respecting that, and protecting the environment in some way, the biosphere and marine ecosystems, and so they really cover just a variety of topics, and my apologies for just throwing that out.
Yeah, but that's, now I got all this, like as you said, many of part, even zero hunger is another part, even good health and well-being is also important part, and decent work and economic growth is very key for our developing members. So those things is 17 goals, even final goal is partnerships for the goals. So each goals have a very deep, detailed action plans. And also, as shown in the final goal, goal 17, this SDG called upon of these partnerships, how to meet up those goals. I believe this ICT, ITU is our role is also bring ICT community to meet of these SDG goals.
Yeah, and I guess as you've indicated very, very well that really the foundation of everything today is information communication technology. And to achieve these 17 goals, you need ICT, this information communication technology, to drive the completion and the implementation of these goals. It's just so... That's just how important the work of the ITU is, because you're really the agency, specialized agency, responsible for technology. Now, you have several major conferences coming up, and they're flagship conferences like WITSA and your World Telecom and so on. Can you describe some of these major conferences coming up, and can you describe the expected outcomes of these conferences and the impact that will have?
Yeah, as you said, this year is a very important year for my bureau because we had so-called assembly. So that's a World Telecommunication Standardization Assembly, someone said WASA or WTSA. This is a custom of Olympic Games of this because once in every 4 years, so all stakeholders get together to discuss about our past years of our development, and also identify the future directions and establish of new strategies, as well as looking for our structure. and that something for the enhancement of our structure and our rules, because this standard development carried out by our expert groups, so-called study group. So this each study group have now their own mandate. Currently, today we have 11 study groups. So this is subject for coming WTSA to look at all this each study group's mandate, and then identify what is next 4 years, how we can address of each subject areas. Even it's not easy to look at our year 2020, even 4 years ahead, as looking at our ICT development is very challenging. This WTSA should be held in Yasmin Hammamet of Tunisia from 25th October to 3rd of November. We expect of this WTSA will address how ITOT standard to meet of this urgent need of this market and also our administration's requirements. As an example of this, the development of IMT 2020, this is our language, but its normal language is the 5G. 5G is a very important subject for all of us. So in ITOT, we are challenging our standard development to support non-radio aspect of 5G, which means fixed part, fixed network part of 5Gs. We expect this 5G will not only for support of mobile services, but also many of other emerging services like automatic driving, or the e-health, mobile health, even this use of this virtual reality or augmented reality to support of this e-health or e-farming, the e-education. So we are thick of these directions. So 5G is important for us. So this WTSA will identify how this ITOT study group's positioning of this 5G, support of this 5G development. And other subject could be, one important part is the Internet of Things. Definitely, Internet of Things is a very popular subject today. But I want to say Internet of Things was claimed from ITOT first at year 2008. That time I was chairman of this Internet of Things expert group. But we are focusing to support of this IoT to build of these smart cities, taking into account today many standard organizations already engaged of this Internet of Things support of these IoTs. So we are trying to bring, collaborating with the relevant SDUs, make of this IoT enough to support of smart cities. That is another important part for us. But also we came to address how we can enhance the quality of service of ICTs. Definitely defining of the quality of service of the 5G environment and also security. That is another important subject for us. And then finally, we will challenge how this this ITOT technical standard is an impact economic and the policy aspect. Specifically, we are focusing on the next 4 years will be one of the focusing area is the digital financial service. So that is another important subject for us. So all this subject and the structure should be discussed on this WTSA. And just because you asked me several important events for us, just before the day of WTSA 16, actually 24th of October, we will have one of our important events called Global Standards Symposium. So this is a get-together of all standard organizations, some experts who engage with standard development to discuss how standards efforts could be best integrate the consideration, specifically This year, we have themes how we can address the considerations of security, privacy, and trust. This is another important subject for us. The result of this Global Standards Symposium should be input to our WTSA for their considerations. And during the WTSA 16, we plan two side events. First one is this year, 2016, is the 60th anniversary of our ITUT established. So we plan to have 60th anniversary talks with high-profile speakers to explore the latest developments in specifically artificial intelligence and digital financial services. And we had another side event called Invitation Only CXO Meeting. So CXO Meeting is the invite of these industry leaders, CEO, CTO, CSO, CIO. So new industry, we try to explore the new industry dynamics to address of this, how ICT standards, how ITU platforms support of these industry requirements. And finally, we have we plan our first meeting of the ITU Women in Standardization Expert Group. We called WISE, Women in Standardization Expert. One of our role is now increasing the leadership from the women of this to participate of our ICT sectors, also ICT standardization activities. So those are our side event of this. Yes, I hope this will be interesting for your audience.
Yeah, and I guess there's also these other sort of annual events. Can you talk more about them, you know, like Telecom World or Kaleidoscope?
Yeah, that is an annual event, yeah. In ITU, ITUT, let me say with the ITU, as an ITU point of view, we have an annual event with so-called ITU Telecom World. This year is planned in Bangkok, Thailand, Bangkok, from the 14th to 17th. So this is the annual event to get together of this, all the industries and also administrations and regulators. This is the chance to show up of this, all the developments, and also specifically address the developing regions. This year we are continue to invite all SMEs, available SMEs, small and medium entrepreneurs, get the meeting place and identify the issues and try to show of their development to find out proper partners. This is one of our annual events, but it's this year planned at this Bangkok. And from my bureau, we had very eager to extend our collaboration with academia. So we believe that it's a good time to have some more engage from academia experts into the international standard development. So we had already more than 10 years of our effort, and this year, again, we have a kaleidoscope. Our name is Kaleidoscope of this academia event. It's planned at Bangkok in terms of this, in the course of this ITU Telecom World. Especially this year, we are piggybacking with the ITU Telecom World together to address this, specifically our subject of this kaleidoscope is how to ICT support of SDGs, the Sustainable Development Goals. So we believe it's a good opportunity to jointly together with Bangkok with the ITU Telecom. And also during of this kaleidoscope, we plan to have a special sessions dealing with artificial intelligence.
Again, sort of quite a remarkable conference is coming up, and I can see the impact on the world afterwards because of this coming together of so many people from so many different countries. And congratulations on initiating and being part of and fostering this kind of global collaboration. I also know, Chesab, that you're on the Financial Services Roundtable Technology Advisory Council, and you're contributing to their summit, which is called the FinTech Ideas Festival. And that's an invitation-only CEO-focused summit. Now, what will you be contributing to the summit, and what do you hope to learn?
This financial service is now getting very important. And ITO standards are central to the rise of e-commerce. They're also very crucial to high-speed exchange of financial information. More recently, we have been engaged with this study called Digital Financial Services, including as a mobile money aspect. So we had one of expert group called Focus Group on Digital Financial Services, chaired by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. This group is studied around 2 years, so it would be a good opportunity to attend this financial service roundtable as to bring so their attentions to the findings of our 2 years of study. And also, so it would be a good opportunity for ITU to get all these requirements from financial service round through the financial service roundtable, how to continue our study to meet all these requirements. It would be very important opportunity for me and also for this roundtable. And one of my expectations as a contribution from ITU is with this our result of this financial service, but also we understand financial service is one of the critical essential platforms building trust. So in my bureau, we also had a study on the how to build trust relationships in information society. We have a certain study result, but it's a very beginning stage. It would be good to use of this round table to address how we can ensure this trustworthy relationship on this information society. So that, those are my expectations and my contribution to this round table.
Well, it'd be quite a noteworthy event, especially with the inclusion of the ITU and due to the significant work that the ITU and ITUT specifically is doing worldwide. So thank you for providing your insights on that. Now, there's this XPRIZE Foundation, quite famous actually, and they've been sponsoring a number of sort of big challenges throughout the years. Can you talk about your relationship with the XPRIZE Foundation and their work with artificial intelligence, and what do you hope to achieve?
Yeah, that was a very interesting challenge for us. We recognize the value of the competition lead ITU and the special IBM Watson XPRIZE. So that's the reading about signing of this cooperation agreement to promote of the AI innovation. From our point of view as a specialized agency of the United Nations, we strive to promote innovation with the potential to lead to a better quality of our life for all the world's people. You understand IBM Watson, AI XPRIZE, aims to accelerate the development of scalable AI solutions to address humanity's grandest challenges. I think this is really aligns very well with the priorities of ITU. So many of these grand challenges are best described by the United Nations SDG. So even I said that we had some time to talk about these SDGs. And it's a very ambitious set of 17 development goals. So achieving, we expected year 2030. But we believe this AI innovation has a certain to assist in the pursuit of the sustainable development goals. practical application of AI have the potential to improve the efficiency, sustainability of from the healthcare or education, transportation, agriculture, commerce, and more. So we believe this ITU's contribution to the facilitation of this XPRIZE also give us some good opportunity to draw its global network of ICT experts to propose judges to the, join this XPRIZE scientific advisory board. And ITU will also assist in the proportion of data sets, test environments, and other resources to aid the research of XPRIZE entrants. We also have some plans to offer mentors and other technical experts to assist entrants in improving their application and showcasing their work. So this offer of assistance will also extend to the provision of an ecosystem of technical tools and resources. So that is our some relationship with XPRIZE.
Oh, a remarkable coming together in terms of XPRIZE Foundation and work with artificial intelligence and in your work with ITUT and ITU. Now, I believe you've already touched on this, but I just wanted to see if you wanted to expand on what you've discussed so far, and that is, how do you perceive the future of artificial intelligence and ITU's role?
Actually, this future of artificial intelligence, the language itself, it's not that long, not the new language. It's a quite long years of the language. I remember one of my, when I studied on the master class, my paper is also part of this artificial intelligence. Quite long, but it's now, today with development of computing technologies and the networking technologies, now AI is really, I believe that this is in real. So we believe the use of this AI or adopt of these AI concepts or AI procedures will greatly contribute our ICT developments. And also easily think about combining, as an example, combining this AI with big data analysis. It'll be a great opportunity to define very enhanced or advanced principles of trusted ICT environment. So building of this trusted, we have to know of this more accurate and trustworthy data and also that processing. So we believe this is a great opportunity for upgrading of this ICT. Not only for but ICT technology aspect, but also definitely impact our connected life, which is an essential part of this information society. Even this information society is now moving forward for knowledge-based society. Definitely, this AI, future of AI, is an essential contribution how to build up this knowledge-based society. So that is our understanding. So if our understanding is right, then we believe ITU's engagement to bring up this AI community, to meet of this ICT technical expert, it would be a good opportunity to upgrade advanced in terms of ICT environment. Definitely including of our ICT standards. Many of the areas is now waiting for applying of these AI-based solutions, like automated some things or context or content-aware capabilities. Even someone said of cyber robots or agent concepts. All this is one of crucial examples how this AI is important. So ITU will continue to bring up these AI communities to meet of these ICT experts to address of these technical developments.
You know, just a fascinating role that you're taking, and with regards to the future of AI, that is artificial intelligence. Can you comment now on your work with the international financial services area and your goals?
Our goal is, you know, international financial services, actually, at this moment today, as an example, DFS, the service providers, as supervision under the central bank, but all the available technologies to support of this service as supervision by the telecom or ICT regulator. So it'll be something bridging of the, between different domains. So we believe this as ITU, our study has a good opportunity to bridging of these two different domains, because we understand technical engagement, technical support as a very essential to ensure of these financial services. Even this international financial services as a, extension of financial service. Practically, it's very difficult to identify what is international, what is regional, what is national, specifically taking to all these financial services. So it, we hope, so through this, our study platforms, those new stakeholders, and not only from the bankers, but also those engaged with these financial services, get together and then try to identify all these ecosystems and the relevant technologies, even services, take into account our quality of service and the security matters, and then facilitate of these international financial services, specifically so addressing the requirements from the developing regions. So we believe this is an extremely important part how this international financial services or this community to meet the requirements from those developing members. So this is our goals of this international financial services.
Yeah, and I can see how that's aligned with your World Telecommunication Standardization Assembly, where you even have a session on digital financial services to, you know, bring a conversation of what's happening out there and get a dialogue in terms of the challenges and solutions. So again, the ITUT taking leadership in this area. What are the main areas for consideration with blockchain? I mean, we hear so much about it worldwide, or this thing called public ledger. What are your views on it?
Yeah, we are very interested in this blockchain, because blockchain has the potential to reduce cyber risks by offering identity authentication. So there's no reason why requirements for numbering, maintaining, and indexing records and communicating information provided in records that could not be met through an electronic ledger systems. As an example, we assume this one of our refrigerator equipped with the sensors, let me say IoT capabilities, and connected to the online shopping mall, and use of this blockchain to manage automated interactions with the external world, anything from ordering, paying for food, to arranging for its own software upgrades and tracking with its warranty. So this is a, we believe this in this, even these small businesses, but this use of this blockchain is create so really trusted trading platforms. So this is our understanding. So we are trying to identify how this blockchain is helpful for our ITU-based standards to support of this financial services. Also, the other directions, how ITU technologies, standard technology we developed, is facilitate more valuable of these blockchain operations. So we are looking for of this, and I believe both of these directions would be really helpful to build trusted, trust-based trading or trust-based our societies. So we are very keen, even a little bit early stage, but our expert group try to identify how we can collaborate, work together with this blockchain.
Now, let's see if we can extend that last question about blockchain to other areas such as big data and analytics and the Internet of Things. What are your views for consideration there?
Actually, those three words, big data, big data analytics, IoT, even this IoT with 5G and the smart city, we think this is even technical terms, but aiming for the same goals, make really the smart community. Even big data, so we believe big data should be facilitated with IoT capabilities. IoT is providing the connectivity to the things, but IoT is the technology to indicate the where this data produced, what types of data produced. So this is an essential part of this big data processing, like data mining. And then based after having of this clear identification of these positions and the data types, big data should be facilitated. So we believe this big data the result of big data processing has a more credit when you use of these standardized IoT systems. That analytics is a great impact, or more creditable, trustworthy society. So this, the combining of this big data, IoT, smart cities is like some kind of a circulation of the value propositions, the value, so adding the values. So those subject is a very important subject. So we, even ITU, trying to invite a relevant expert how to arrange, how to harmonize those subject to develop as a, to make as a standard, as if it should be useful for everybody use of same language. Because a standard is a tool to, as a same, use of the same language. So we try to address of this, big data and also IoT. And definitely, our one of, short-term goal is how to support, building of a smart city or smart community. So that is our view of this, big data and IoT.
And as you indicated, you know, 5G is somewhat related in the sense that it provides the capability of enormous amounts of data. And you talked about earlier in our conversation, autonomous vehicles or augmented reality or virtual reality or supporting perhaps, and you didn't mention this, maybe 4K or 8K video. But, you know, I guess the capability is somewhat endless. So do you have more to sort of say about 5G and then what will supersede 5G?
Yeah, 5G is, let me start with the name is 5G. So we may easily think about 5G after 4G. So 3G, 4G, 5G, then easily think about after 5G should be 6G or 7G, which means mainly from the extension or continuation of a mobile. That was very challenging for us. If you look at this 5G requirements, which developed of many organizations, even many industries, the requirements of this 5G or objectives of the service is huge and very, I want to say, really very advanced services. As an example of this, all the requirements set less than 1 millisecond latency times to support as automatic driving or e-health or something remote surgery. So this is one of the examples. So we think 5G to support of this kind of this requirement, we believe 5G need very strong support from smart fixed networks. This is our understanding. So 5G is definitely need, but under the 5G environment, we use this, as you said, it's 4K, 8K video, but also we have to use very small bit coming from IoT, and also we use the long latency services, but very short latency, like mission critical services. So this is a coverage is huge. So we need very smart network capabilities. So the IoT will synchronize with ITOR, the radio part. ITOR already set up some very clear plans until WRC World Radio Conference of the year 2019, how to process to identify the 5G mobile spectrums and candidate transport technologies, mobile technology. And we try to synchronize. We synchronize with ITOR and then ITOT to address what is network capabilities to support of that. One of the critical the technology we definitely incorporate with this softwareization or virtualize and the slicing, including the slicing technologies. So we try to address of this 5G, but also so our expert groups to develop the very stable infrastructure like optical networks to support 5G over more than 100 gigs the capabilities. We believe this is an essential part to support of this 5G. And also some of our expert groups address the quality of service requirement and the security requirement to use of this 5G. And the virtual realities or augmented reality, how to utilize over the 5G environment. So those are areas we are challenging of this 5G development. And we believe since this, if you can successfully develop this 5G on the year 2020, and then the next beyond of this 5G should be continuation of so-called mobile fixed hybrid networks. You know, there's today our operator in most of countries, they already have merged between mobile business and the fixed business, even internet business. So we don't need to separate our network infrastructure, support of mobile and the support of fixed, support of internet. So we expect this 5G is the first case to develop, to build the fixed mobile hybrid infrastructure. So if this is a good success, then afterwards, we expect 6G should be another names like something advanced integrated networks. This is our expectation. But anyhow, as a whole of ITU, we are working hard on this to develop this 5G until year 2020.
You know, so it's just tremendously exciting in a sense, you know, what we're heading towards. Now, Chasub, I'm just going to take a minute to pause in this interview with you and just ask you this question. I know we had allocated an hour for this discussion, and I have a few more questions that may take us another 15 minutes, and I was just wondering if your time allocation will allow that to go beyond the hour that we had originally set aside.
No, why not? My pleasure.
Okay, thank you for that. So we'll continue on here and with this mm-hmm. discussion. Chasub, can you comment on the future of the workforce?
Yeah, the workforce of this, around 78% of business leaders are expecting to have digital organizations within 3 years. So digital is desirable, bringing with it cost efficiencies, innovation, and a more productive, agile, high quality of the work. So this can be achieved using our technologies. Specifically, when you say of this, digital organizations should be in need of some support, big data processing, a more intelligent processing, maybe coming from artificial intelligence. We need a more strong computing capabilities. This would be helpful for business processes. So we believe this all this could be essential part of future of the workforce. Definitely some of the technical software like 3D printing, 3D interfaces, cognitive assistance, and something robots, but not necessarily physical robots, or take into account the cyber robots. So that all this is should be the, I want to say, the future of workforce.
Again, it's really fascinating where the world is heading, and we seem to be at this sort of inflection point in society and humanity, culture, and economics, and it'll be interesting to see how the world is transforming. And your organization is leading much of this as well. Now, can you describe maybe some major projects you're working on and the problems and solutions?
So this our major project is now aiming for year 2020. Because this year, the name of year 2020 is very interesting. I don't know, it's easy to pronounce, but many of the countries already announced of their goals for year 2020, even the several organizations as well. So we think year 2020 should be, as a fiscal objective, is a good target. By accident, as I said before, we have a World Telecom Standard Assembly. This once in every 4 years this year, which means of this, the goal of this year WTSA 16 is addressed for year 2020, because next WTSA should be year 2020. So this aiming of this setup of this our timeline, year 2020 is pivotal for us. With that deadlines, we have three key projects. The first one is we called Network 2020, mainly how to support, how to build of this INT 2020 in the 5G. So we already started of this study from the beginning of last year. We are continuing our expert groups, collaborating with other groups. And another one is we expect, we called of this IoT 2020. Even IoT was started quite long years from ITU side in year 2008, but now IoT is getting popular and our technology is available to support some certain level of devices to be connected. So this is IoT 2020 is another important subject for us. But as I said before, our IoT is collaborating with the relevant SDOs to support the smart city operation. In this regard, we are very keen to define interoperability between different IoT devices, between different IoT standards. So this is a second project. And the third project is we try to contribute of our current information society should be trustworthy. So we engage, we initiate our study how trust mechanisms should be applied to the ICT ecosystem. So we develop what is the trust meaning from the engineering aspect, what elements we need to input as some of solutions or some of mechanism in ICT operation. We will continue this this little bit long-term project, but we are aiming for year 2020, so we called this is Trust 2020. Those three is a major project in IoT.
Well, those are very significant areas and really pressing on the world as well. So how about some major challenges faced by business? So looking out there to the business community, what do you see some of the things that they have to address?
It's very difficult, but looking for from now, maybe looking for next 4 or 5 years, we are concerned about this one third of our skills so important in today's workforce will be challenged to change. Could be say the first industrial revolution will brought most advanced technologies like robotics or autonomous transport, autonomous services, and artificial intelligence, including the machine learning, and something advanced materials to facilitate to implement many difficult subjects today, but take into account also biotechnologies and the genomics. So that kind of things will challenge for us. So those developments, we think is a transform our way of our living and also way of our work. This is a very significant challenge for us. We are very delighted to develop our technical innovations, but we have to also responsibility to protect humanity and ensure of this human jobs or some of the jobs which might be disappear in the future, but we have to find out some of replacement of those jobs to continue our human life as good way. So all these I think is a really big challenge for our future business domains. I hope this ICT, our study, during our study of this ICT, even standard, but be a good chance to collect of these views from our expert groups or experts.
You know, it's interesting. You know, we talk about it, the impact of AI and automation and machine learning, and the skill sets required and the skills gaps and the impact it's going to have. I'm always thinking about developing nations, you know, that there used to be this sort of path to wealth of developing nations of offering labor through manufacturing, which is a lower cost in developing nations than were in developed nations. But now the developed nations can actually use robotics and automation and don't have to use labor sources in developing nations and because of this rapid rise of automation and AI. What kind of impact, and I'm just sort of throwing this question in, just to sort of muse about it, is what sort of impact do you think this is going to have in terms of this path to of development for developing nations where, you know, they are a labor source for manufacturing and other areas? And that was the traditional path, right? And that was for China, perhaps, you know, for Vietnam and other countries. What's going to happen as we become increasingly automated? What will be the different paths to increase prosperity, do you think? Or maybe it's not too big of a question, perhaps.
Yeah, it's a very challenging subject. Yeah, it's as a part of this ICT development, you always think about that. But I said one of whether we like or not, this the reduce of this labor factor in developed region, this is essential. This is not, I believe this is coming to us. So it would be good to think about the labor force or labor the level of laborers in developing countries. So we have to continue to enhance the level of laborers in developing regions. Could be even we have to find out the use of this ICT or these advanced technologies to define, to find out some of use of that as an application and services. So something physical or the processing should be done by of these technologies, but this management or this control, even definitely control, but also the use of the technologies, creation of new ecosystem is also another areas we have to challenge. Still, we now our stage is we are very concerned about this application of those new technologies like AI into robots, into our systems. We just think about this is an impact of this in our productivity, but also this productivity including less labor's engagement. But we also think about this, how this, when these technologies included into our systems, what is other consequences? What is what is the result or what is phenomena we didn't think about? So could be very interesting. We may find some of the interesting areas. For example, is that when you have some robots in many of areas, this could be good case for us is how to maintain of this, how to keeping of this services or operations from the robots is another area we have to challenge. Even this is not only for the physical part, but also a cyber part. So all these technologies so continuously extend of our life. As an example, we extend our life to the cyberspace. So we are continuously engaged with this cyberspace. But as you pointed out, the developing regions mainly based on this labor force. So this would be a big challenge, how to bring them, how to encourage them to enhance of the labor force. So could be, I think it's one of our activities in ITU we called capacity building, done by our other bureau as a way to continuously support to improve of this labor force. This is really important subject, but it's, we need more time, I guess, is that to look at all this, what is the result or the phenomena of this adopt of these technologies.
As you indicated, maybe a good place would be at the World Telecommunications Standardization Assembly.
Yeah, I hope so.
Will we have a discussion on AI or telecom world or kaleidoscope? But, Chesab, now I'm going to shift directions for the last two questions, and then maybe a little bit more from the personal standpoint. You know, we've been talking about what's happening in terms of what the ITU does and the impact you have and really the significant work that's being done by the ITU team. But now, from a personal standpoint, you must have many interests. Can you talk further about them?
You mean many interests, yeah?
Yes, that's right. Maybe as a golfer or fishing or...
think about this. One of the benefits of this international activity is very good to know physically visit of this different cultural environment. So, in ITU, our system, we classified five different regions. America region, Asia Pacific region, and the Russian region, and the Africa region, and the European regions. So we have, one more region is Arab region. We have such kind of classifications. Each region have their own different culture. You know, knowing of this different culture is a very, very, very interesting experience, and knowing the people is very also interesting part. So let me say of this, when I had a candidate of this, my post, what I found is in Asia Pacific region, so they enjoy to sing a song. So use of this karaoke. This is one of the way to have after the reception. But it's a Latin America region, they enjoy to sing together, not just individual, sing together. So everybody start of this sing a song, and then anyone start of this, then everybody join together. And Africa region, they are not so much concerned about keen of this sing a song. They like dancing. The dancing is really excellent moment. And Russian region, they have invite of expert singers and enjoy group dance. That is a very interesting findings for me. Such a difference. So it would be, to knowing of this cultural difference is a very interesting moment for me. So I want to share of this international activities in this sense is a great opportunity to know the people, to know the difference of these cultures and the countries.
Yeah, I can imagine quite an education because you do travel so much, and each time you interact with different cultures, a person mm-hmm. will grow. So you're going to be imbued with all of these qualities of these different cultures, a sort of multicultural person, a Renaissance person. I'm down to our last question, and you talked about this. You speak extensively, you travel a lot in your work. Mm-hmm. Do you have any sort of stories you can share, or something that you thought was surprising or amazing, unexpected or amusing?
I have several stories, but something I'm wondering about as the share of this view is sometimes not good. But anyhow, let me challenge with this. So one thing what I found is, one thing surprising is, standard development process is sometimes is very controversial because there's a conflict of this interest. This country support of that way, other country the other ways. So sometimes we have a very big challenge. So let me say of this, IPTV is one of the important subjects was at the beginning of this convergence between telecom and broadcasting. We had a certain one country have a very good facilities of this broadband capabilities. But unfortunately, IPTV is the issue, so conflict between telecom regulator and broadcasting regulator. So it's in the middle of the year 2000, I think it's in year 2006 or 7, I believe. And then they invite us, the ITU, our expert group. So we came to of this country and we brought of this subject. Very surprised that the next day, after having our first day, next day this newspaper announced that at the first cover sheet of this, they have a nice infrastructure, but the service is very poor, especially without any support of this IPTV. So this whole community was, that country community was really get attentions of this newspaper. Their serious concern was raised, and it is a accelerator of their discussions. And then I heard that as the next 6 months, they got agreement. So they launched of this service after 6 months. So it was a great moment for me. I was really surprised how this is an international standard is contributed to the world. That was a great moment. Even this is, I'm sorry to say this only that my professional aspect, but as a very recently, as from the travel aspect, I have another one thing surprising what I look at is I chance to visit Mexico, also a good opportunity to visit this pyramid. as Mexico has a nice pyramid, but I didn't recognize this difference of this this pyramid and the pyramid in Egypt. This Egypt has a very sharp surface, but in Mexico pyramid, it looks like stepwise. But I found this, the bottom size of this pyramid of both two, which built this more than 2,000 years ago, exactly same size. So that was a subject for historical scientists to identify of this. So we discussed at that time, they might be communicate with emotional communication, like teleworking, yeah, something like that. So that was one of discussion, story what I had during my visit to this Mexico. I hope this is good.
Yeah, those are just the really great stories and insights that you shared, you know, and I also thank you for extending the interview here. I know your schedule is really, really demanding because of the nature of the work, the importance of the work of ITUT, and we are indeed fortunate to have you coming in to do the interview, and thank you for sharing so many of your deep experience and wisdom with our audience.
Thank you very much for giving me this opportunity to talk with you.
I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and this concludes our exclusive interview with Dr. Chesab Lee, Director of ITU's Telecommunications Standardization Bureau.